In this episode, we are going to talk about young worker safety. Yeah, that's right, the younger workers coming into the workforce. A recent study has some alarming trends emerging relating to the safety and health of these workers. We'll talk about ways we can impact their safety and health for the better in this episode. So let's get to it.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, helping you manage safety one episode at a time. With the constant regulatory and workplace culture challenges businesses face, we'll provide you with all the relevant information necessary to achieve a safer, more productive workplace. No management theories, platitudes, or guru speak, just actionable info you can use right away. Now here's your host, the safety pro himself, Blaine Hoffman.
All right, everybody, before we get into today's topic, I want to remind everybody, if your business is reopening after any kind of closure due to COVID, or you've continued to remain open, but you're struggling with how to mark your facilities to ensure physical distancing and relay important information about safety and health as it relates to COVID, I want you to go visit our friends over at Mighty Line Floor Tape. Mighty Line has some great products for you to mark your floors, whether it be the stand here, the 6 feet distancing, or just floor tape to denote lanes of travel. They have everything you need to mark your facility. So hit the link in the show notes, visit our friends at Mighty Line Floor Tape. They are incredible partners in safety. I can't thank them enough for their support of the podcast. Again, Mighty Line Tape for all of your floor marking needs. All right. So getting right into today's topic, we have a study that is out, and we'll talk about that study related to worker safety and health for younger workers. Now, before we get into that, I want to kind of just pause and talk a little bit about what we've talked about previously with millennials. We have to make a distinction here. You know, millennials, that's a label that a lot of folks use to just blanket cover everybody who's younger. And these aren't millennials, right? So millennials are already in the workforce. They're going into management positions and even junior management positions. So, you know, we're not talking about millennials per se. However, a lot of the desires and wants out of work-life balance and benefits and feeling like they belong and all of those things that millennials share with these young workers, this next generation, a lot of those are the same. So referring back to some of our previous episodes about how to engage millennials and what we're doing to protect that group, a lot of it does have some overlap with this topic, right? So younger workers, you know, anywhere from 15 to 24 years old, okay? That's the young workforce. You know, the types of jobs they're likely to be going in, you know, when you have corporate type positions, like they're college students, it's going to be internships. Maybe they're getting an engineering degree or a science degree. They're going into manufacturing, research, things like that. They may be doing some hands-on stuff out on a production floor or with tooling and machining and building prototypes, things of that nature. And they may have very little experience in actually working with some of this stuff. So there's one sector. Then you have what everyone calls the working class. It used to be called blue collar. It used to be called folks that just simply work with their hands, whether it be manual labor, factory workers. These are the folks that get stuff done. They build things. They're working in manufacturing. They're working in construction. And they're also working in the service industry. So that whole sector alone, you know, we could do an entire episode and probably should on the service industry, right? We're talking about servers, waiters, bussers. And we have a whole group of employees, of young workers going into the service industry. We also have sales associates working in retail, clothing, merchandising, even grocery stores, especially for a 15, 16-year-old, fast food. So that is a huge group of folks that have very unique and specific safety and health needs. All right, so you know, we covered in a very broadly, high level, some of the sectors that these employees could be going into. So keep that in mind when I start reading off some of these stats, start thinking, okay, where are some of these injuries likely to be coming from? And what can we do to make sure that we improve safety in those areas? Now, if you're working in one of these industries, then you're on the front lines, right? You have direct contact likely with some of these workers, whether they're, you know, new hires coming in or interns at your organization, things like that. You can influence them, you know, from day one with setting the right tone, setting the right message, and working with leadership to lead with safety. But if you are a consultant that you know, you listen to this podcast, then, you know, you have an opportunity to potentially target, in a good way, target these industries in a unique way to help improve the safety and health of their employees in these certain market sectors. So keep that in mind as we get into this study. The study basically concludes that a comprehensive public health strategy is needed to protect younger workers. So, you know, whenever we hear those types of phrases, just keep in mind, we're talking about regulatory guidelines, laws, things like that. So that was from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention researchers. So they had a study that was published showing that the rate of non-fatal on-the-job injuries among the 15 to 24-year-olds is between 1.2 and 2.3 times higher than that of 25 to 44 age group. 1.2 to 2.3 times higher than those from 25 to 44. So what they did is they took some data from the National Electronic Injury Surveillance System. We knew that this would bear fruit, right? We knew that submitting a lot of data electronically and having that data to be able to run through various software programs to pull out points of correlation and look for trends. And so this is somewhat what we're seeing here. They found that hospital ERs treated an estimated 3.2 million non-fatal occupational injuries to workers ages 15 to 24 between 2012 and 2018. Of those, 18 and 19-year-olds experienced the highest injury rate at 404 per 10,000 full-time equivalent workers. So the injury rate for workers ages 20 to 24 and 15 to 17 was about 287 and 281 per 10,000 full-time equivalent workers. So that's important. We had about 404 per 10,000 full-time equivalent workers compared to 287 for 20 to 24 and 281 for 15 to 17. So from 18 to 19, that two-year span right there had double the amount of injuries. So look, we have to make sure that, oh, and by the way, what about the other ones? So workers 25 to 44, they only had about 195 injuries per 10,000 full-time equivalent workers. Although contact with objects and equipment, that was the leading cause of work-related injuries requiring ER treatment for all age groups in that study. Lacerations and punctures were the most common type of injury among younger workers. So according to NIOSH, adolescents and young adults comprise about 13% of the workforce and traditionally have sustained higher rates of occupational injuries. Around half of injured workers aged 15 to 17 were employed in the accommodations and food services subsectors of the leisure and hospitality industries, if you're following how they rack and stack all of these different industries. So here's a quote from the report. Evidence suggests that contributors to increased injury risk among younger workers include the following: workplace hazards associated with young worker jobs, violations of child labor laws, fast pace of work, minority status, lack of skills, experience, supervision, and high-quality safety training. Young workers might be less likely to recognize workplace hazards, voice safety concerns, and be aware of their legal protections. So they also say that parents, healthcare providers, they should be encouraged to talk about workplace safety with teens and young adults living in their household. Now, this is something that's very important for you, for safety professionals, right? What do we know about younger workers, the younger generation? They live at home longer, into their mid-20s, right? No judgment, it's just a fact. So here we have an older worker who may be in upper management, senior management, could still be working blue-collar jobs, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. They're great, hardworking folks. And they have a child in their early 20s that's also in the workforce. So the parent goes to work, and let's say there's a full-time safety professional. Let's say they get safety training, and then all of a sudden their child comes home and is like complaining about this, or talks about a near miss that, or does, God forbid, have an injury. What do you think that communication is going to be like between the parent who has a positive experience with workplace safety and the child who indicates that there is a lack of workplace safety focus on the job where they work, right? So we can have parents influencing their children. So as a safety professional, when we talk about off-the-job safety, one of the things that we can add to our campaign throughout the year isn't just, you know, ladder safety at home with the Christmas lights or holiday lights and barbecue safety and summer safety, but maybe it's, hey, for those of you who have children that are old enough to work, share safety tips with your children. Workplace safety tips. That is something that you can add. The other thing that you have to keep in mind is, you know, as we've talked in the past in other episodes about how, you know, look, safety is customer service, but safety is also an employee benefit. So you will see reduced turnover, increased engagement, and positive outlook on the company and the organization, as well as management, when you have a proactive safety program working for you. So that's something else to consider when we start to, and I'm going to use air quotes here, right? When we go to sell safety initiatives to upper management, senior staff, then we can use benefit language, and maybe we talk to HR and we say, hey, you know how hard it is to hire and train, you know, recruit, hire, train, get somebody up and running. And our turnover is, you know, in large part, maybe you have this data and you can bring it to bear, is due to just morale. And so one thing that we feel we can do in the safety department is increase and improve morale through effective safety management systems and approaches. So work with them, partner with them, and say, hey, look, we know we can reduce turnover, we can reduce churn, and, you know, keep people working here, keep them happy, they're safe, they feel safe, they feel that their employer cares about them and includes them in the decision-making process, all that stuff we've talked about in the past. So there's another angle for you safety professionals out there, is to say, hey, look, you know, maybe sometimes you don't have a whole lot of severe injuries, right? And so a lot of folks can look at the rates, injury rates and comp rates, and go, yeah, that we're just not seeing that as a major risk. Maybe the risk is just loss of you know, personnel and people leaving, and because they're not happy with the working conditions. So that leads directly to productivity. So there's your in, right? There's your lever that you pull to get approval for certain initiatives, funding for some things that you need to improve out there in the workplace. So keep that in mind. So the study was published online September 4th in the CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. I will have a link to the actual study. It's pretty dry. I mean, I wanted to boil it down for you in this episode. Take a look at it. What are you doing for young workers? How are young workers viewing the work that you're asking them to do? You know, what they have different sets of standards. Has anyone done a survey, like a perception survey, a cultural survey of your workforce to see, you know, what is most important to your workforce? It's, you're going to get a different answer from somebody who's in their 40s to from somebody who's in their early 20s. So make sure that you're able to address each of those types of cultural differences that you will have in your workforce. So that's a good place to start. So also make sure that you hit the link in the show notes for the study, but also we're going to continue this conversation over at the Safety Pro Podcast community site, where you can participate in the ongoing discussion, post your comments, questions, and just engage and participate. It's a community of safety professionals by safety professionals. So we run that community for you. So please take advantage of it. It's free to join. There's an app you can download as well. And there is a premium membership as well if you want to go deeper into honing your safety professional skills and really get the professional development that will up your game and see real results in your career. It's $6.99 a month. You know, that it helps us keep this content moving. So consider that the premium community membership over at the Safety Pro Podcast community. The link is also in the show notes. Go ahead and join in on the conversation, and I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, the all-in-one digital safety solution. For info on how you can request a free demo on all the capabilities of iReport Source to streamline your business's safety management system, head over to thesafetypropodcast.com. We look forward to helping you manage safety on the next episode of the Safety Pro Podcast.